Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Hey, got a fight, Thornton and Rebbe are exchanging punches.
The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right. Welcome back, Instigators. Hour number two, WGR Sports Radio 550. Rob Ray with Craig and Andrew today. Brian Duff joined us at 10:30 with a practice update. You can hear that one on demand a little bit later. So some positive things going on right now with the Sabres. You know, Cousins and Quinn are on their way, which I think is very exciting for them. Obviously, they'd be rather coming here with different circumstances with gold medal, but they're coming to the NHL, so they're very excited. It's good for the team. It's good for the fans that we're going to be able to see them. I don't know how much Quinn will be here, how long, or if he can stay on the taxi squad. I mean, we'll figure all that stuff out. But I think Dylan Cousins is a bit of a different conversation, because he can play in the NHL. Should he? Will he? Does he? And who does he play with? I think are all crucial questions. We had this conversation yesterday, Razor.
Yep.
So we don't have to spend a ton of time on it, because there are some defensemen that need some love, and goalies.
I think.
But what happened?
For mine, Petey, I think you got Cousins coming in here, and he's going to have a legit chance to find a spot, okay? The other kid, I think he's coming in just to get the experience, and he'll be moving on to wherever he's going to be moving on. There's no spot for it. There's no room for it right now. And I would expect that they're not going to, not say waste their time on it, they're not going to force the issue to try to get the kid some experience in that way, other than experience maybe of hanging around and practicing a little bit with the guys.
So does he play? Did you
No.
Cousins or Quinn?
Quinn.
I'm talking Cousins.
Oh, Cousins, I think he gets a chance, yeah.
When? Right out of the gate?
I think he's a spot for him. You know, Riv's talking about Ruotsalainen. I'm not thinking that they're going to give that kid the shot before they give a Cousins a shot. And even though he's been playing and all that kind of thing, and, you know, he's put up some good numbers, I don't know. I just think I would roll the other way with Cousins before I would slide him in.
Okay. Fair enough. Rivs doesn't seem as keen to rebuttal. Maybe there is no rebuttal.
Listen, you know, Marsh,
or have you changed your tune a little bit yet?
Listen, not whatsoever. I think that Dylan Cousins will have an opportunity to show that he can grab a nightly roster spot. He's going to come in. He's going to feel it's going to be a new environment for him that's going to take a little bit of time to getting used to. I hope that Dylan Cousins comes in here, and I hope that he plays exceptionally well, like just like what we saw at the World Juniors. But he's going to have a transition. There is going. I know that Dylan Cousins is one of the best young players in the world right now for his age. The reality of it is he's going to have a transition period to the NHL. It's a lot faster. The players are a lot bigger and stronger. They're more mobile. They're smarter. He's going to have to make plays quicker than what he's ever made in his entire life. And every single player has a transition period. Is Dylan Cousins going to play on opening night? I think that he's probably going to play on opening night. I think he's got a roster spot. And I hope that he does well, because that's going to bode well for the Buffalo Sabres moving forward. That being said, you know, it's interesting when you sit there and you look at the lines and you break down our team. Zemgus Girgensson, you know, we'll probably get an update on Zemgus and what the timeline and what the actual injury is. But if he's out long term, that's a big loss for this hockey team. And I'm going to tell you why. It's not because of the goals that he scores. It's about the energy and the physicality and the ability to kill penalties, which this team needs help killing penalties. You know, I don't think there's a player that we have in our roster that can kind of fill that mold of what Zemgus Girgensson brings. So it'll be interesting to watch and see if there is a player that can grab that spot, because you originally starting training camp, you had Eakin, you had Kyloposo and Zemgus Girgensson as a line. And when you look at the line, you look at energy, you look at intelligence, you look at defensively responsible. And I think when you look at Zemgus Girgensson, you know what he brings. He's a Tasmanian devil on the ice. He's flying around. He's going to back check. He's going to forecheck. He's going to hit. He's going to drive the net. Who is going to be the guy that fills that spot that I think that you need on that type of line?
I think there's only two guys that can, and that's Shahan or Tobias Reider.
So if you've watched Tobias Reider play, he's more of a smoother, more of an offensive type guy. Do you not think? I don't think that he's playing the same style as a Zemgus Girgensson. That is like he's going to run through the wall for his team.
No,
he's
but Reider kills penalties. He's good at he's an accomplished penalty killer. So.
Okay.
You know, that's what you're leaning on Girgensson's for as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
instigator. You know,
whomever it is, one of those two guys, I'm talking just on a maybe opening night, you know, with you know your Poso and Lazar and Shahan or Reider as their fourth line.
You know who's gotten the shaft on a lot of these conversations that we've had? The defense. We never really, I mean, we need to.
I think we're afraid to.
Why?
Because there's a big question, like, you know, is it going to be able to come together? Are they going to mature, the way we think and hope? And, you know, is Dahlin going to be, you know, taking that next step? I'll tell you one guy that did the other day was your boy, Henry Jokiharju. You know, I know he got a couple G's in that game, but he was pretty nice. He looked pretty good.
Do you know who I think the most important defense pairing is? Is on this team? Craig, I'll ask you. Don't jump at the question, but I'll ask you because you're the defenseman.
Well, why do you ask me to jump on the question? I'm waiting for you to tell me who the pair is.
Well, I asked you to see if you could guess.
Well, listen, I mean, there's only three pair. Just throw it out there.
I think there's four, aren't there?
Only three pairs play, bud.
McCabe, Risto.
Okay.
McCabe and Risto. Are you gonna ask me to elaborate on that? I don't want to. I was hoping you were gonna just kind of like take it away. But
hey, both looked very good the other day. I thought Grissel was skating well, banging a few guys around, jumped into the play a few times. You know, Jake played a very, very safe game, but smart game. Didn't try to do too much. Never saw, got himself in a jackpot in the defensive zone trying to do too much. I thought it'd be quality veteran game by the two of those guys. And I'm not talking just kind of floating through it. They did what they had to do to try to get themselves rolling.
And Craig, that is why I think they're the most important. Aren't they your, you know, top pair penalty kill, and like not top pair, but your first penalty kill group and your shutdown D, or the guys you need to go out and play hard against, your Crosbys and your Ovechkins and those guys?
Yeah, but I think that you have to have a top four rather than a top two, right? I think that we all know, and we've all seen Jake McCabe play some great hockey. We've all seen Ristolainen, and especially last year, seem to really, really work well with Ralph Krueger and what he was asked to do, simplified his game. And when Risto keeps things simple and he's physical and he plays that game, he is a very, very good player. I expect them. We all expect them. They're extremely important, that pair, because like you said, Petey, they are going to be playing most nights against the other team's top line. That being said, you're not going to win games with Jake McCabe and Ristolainen doing their job. You're going to win games.
You might some nights.
No, you won't.
That's
because guess what? When you're on the road, you don't have the ability to put Rasmus Ristolainen and Jake McCabe out against a guy like Alex Ovechkin if you're playing Washington, because guess what? They have last change. You understand? So you need to have a top four defense that you feel very comfortable with moving forward, that you know can do the job. If you can't get a Ristolainen and a Jake McCabe on the ice because they just came off and now all of a sudden the other team reads this and they win the change battle because they have last change, you need to have another pair of defense that can do the job. And what pair of defense is that? Is it a Rasmus Dahlin and Montour? Or do you feel more comfortable with the Miller / Joki Haru? One of those pairs has to really step up this year if you are going to have success.
Instigators, I'm talking defense with Rob Ray and Craig Revay. Razor, you were at the scrimmage the other day. We've all heard about Dahlin's size and everything that he's put on in the time off, 15 pounds and whatnot. How did it look to you? How did it translate in your eyes?
Well, the weight that he put on did not affect his movement at all. I'll tell you, he still looked as quick and smooth as, you know, he has in the past. In that scrimmage, I don't think he didn't do anything that really made you jump out of your seat and say, oh my gosh, here he is. You know, these guys are, I'll tell you what, the pace of that game was very slow. It was a snail's pace. And I think the reason why it was the first time maybe in that game scenario for all these guys for a long time, nobody wanted to get dung up. And I expect a little different story here on Saturday, a little different performance, you know, aggressive side. I would hope it is. And if it's a coach, I'd be promoting a little more physical play out of them just so they could get themselves, you know, prepared for that mentally and physically.
But are you walking a fine line when you ask for that though, Rob?
Yeah, I know you are. Because you got guys like Ristolainen somebody through the wall, but
you got guys like Ristolainen that don't have that switch. They can't turn it on and off.
Well, he's got to be smart enough not to.
Well, you know what? Listen, I mean, the wires disconnect sometimes with players.
Yeah, I know. We've all had crossed wires, but I think he's smart enough. He's old enough now to understand that. But don't you want to see a little jam, maybe, even if it is amongst your own guys, just to get yourself ready for that?
Because kind of like when Patty Coletta ran Vanek and split him for 50 stitches in the forehead and inner squad game. Right. No, I don't know.
I'm not talking that. I'm talking battling along the walls, and I'm talking standing guys up, you know, pinching down the walls as D, and you know, in those battles in front of the net and in the corners, just trying to get yourself conditioned for what's going to happen, you know, here coming on opening night. So
yeah, Rib,
I would promote it a little bit as a coach. I wouldn't say, hey, just go through the motion, boys, get this over with.
Yeah, you can't, Rib. I wouldn't do that. You got to have his game almost as game-like as you can, right? Like, I'm not talking about stepping up on a guy in the neutral zone if he's got his head down carrying the puck. But I'm like, you got to say, you got to initiate contact, and everyone's got to be ready for it. There's no other way. The teams that are, they'll be ready to – they'll be – I mean, I don't want to say they'll be more ready because I don't think anyone's really going to be feeling amazing when the puck drops, to be quite honest with you.
I'm going to tell you this flat out. Rob brings the best point that you could possibly bring. When they start on the 14th against the Washington Capitals, do you think the Washington Capitals are going to be going half speed? Do you think you're not going to get hit? This team has not played a game. The Buffalo Sabres have not played a game since March. They need to get into hockey mode now. As far as I'm concerned, everybody is fair game except for Jack Eichel. Don't hit Jack Eichel. I don't care if you have an opportunity to bump him. Don't bump him, because this guy is, as far as I'm concerned.
This isn't 2016 anymore. There's about six other guys that you can say that about.
Nope. There's only one.
Really?
His name's Jack Eichel.
Okay.
Everybody else, let's play like we mean it.
And Rob,
if you incur injuries by getting ready properly, then so be it.
Rob, because
you've got to prepare this team for when they come out against the Washington Capitals, that they have already practiced, played, battled, and played at such a pace that you are now ready to play.
Yep. Razor,
yes,
is
sir.
Jack the only guy with a wearing a red penny out there? I mean,
yes.
Really?
Wow. Yes. Okay. I'm going to go with Ribs on this one.
I would have thought Dahlin would have been a guy you might not want to have.
Oh, no, he's young. He's young.
Free game if you're under the age of 23.
He's a very elusive creature. Good luck trying to hit the guy.
Andrew, I'm going to try and describe this to you. You have watched what we have all watched for many years here in Buffalo. When Jack Eichel is not in the lineup, the Buffalo Sabres are a very, very, very different team. Do you understand? When you have Evgeny Malkin come out of the Pittsburgh Penguins lineup, they don't miss a beat, because you want to know why? They literally have arguably the best player in the game in Sidney Crosby, and vice versa. Here in Buffalo, Jack Eichel, if we do not have him,
But for the first time in years, on paper at least, that's
strongest
not,
team I've seen in 10 that, years.
But that's not the case anymore. On paper now, okay? I'm saying on paper. I'm not talking about performance in games, because we haven't seen the product yet. But on paper, like, for instance, when Jack was hurt, concerned or you know, wondering as I wasn't nearly as concerned, not even close, as I was the year that he popped his ankle the night before or the day before the first game. You're thinking, we were like, season's over. He missed the first 20 games. And you're like, how are you going to play without this guy? But now it was more selfish. Like, I want him in there because this team is so much stronger. And that's why I was like, I want to see all this work for Taylor Hall, for the Stahl line to stay together, for all of that stuff. So when you say that, I agree with you, but for the first time in years, I say years, probably since you were on the team and they made the playoffs the last time, that you're sitting there thinking, if he's hurt, you have other weapons. But when he's not hurt, your team just looks so much better on paper still. Got to mention that again.
So are you like proving the point of what I just said and Razor agreed with? Like,
well, no, Jack, No. I'm proving the point that I understand what you're saying, but I still think there are a few more guys that you're probably going to say, don't hit them. Or they'll know they don't need to be told. Like, they know, no guy.
Understood. I mean, listen, understood. You're Sam Reinhart, we lose him. We lose a major asset. You lose Victor Olofsson. He gets dinged up. You lose a major asset. You can go through the entire lineup. You lose Jack Eichel, and automatically you're sitting there thinking, like, I can still remember, Petey. I can still remember when Jack Eichel popped his ankle and it was a high ankle sprain. You know the first thing that came to my mind?
We were live on the air, I think.
Maybe I'm going to get the call.
Nope. First overall pick.
Oh, that's right, you were.
You were. This guy is so important to your roster. He is so important to your roster. He is literally one of the top players in the National Hockey League. He is beautiful to watch. We have elite, we have high-end players on our team, but Jack is special. We here in Buffalo have something special to watch for the next 10-plus years.
Yeah.
The point is this. Razor talked about the pace in which they played their first scrimmage game. And guess what? I would expect it to be slow. I would expect it to look a little lethargic. These guys are starting to get back into things. They're starting to, the brain is telling the body what to do, starting to kind of get back into the game situation. But when we're talking about what Razor is talking about is they need to practice the way they're going to play. The intensity and the physicality in practice in these scrimmages coming up, they need to be game situation. And if you incur some sort of injury because you're playing the game properly and at the pace that you're playing, you just need to deal with it.
I don't like
– see the lines there Marty put out today when we're just talking about the lines?
No. Read them out.
It's a Poso, Eakin, and Ryder. Dar, Thompson, and who's 38?
Cheyenne, maybe?
Cheyenne. And Sam is with Skinner and Stahl, and Olson is with Jack and Hall.
So let me ask you this question, Rob. Let me ask you this question. Where does Dylan Cousins fit in?
Oh. It's gonna always circle back to this.
Well, I think if you're gonna slide him in, you can Tobias Rader or Reader or whatever or Shahan.
They're easy to bring in and out.
Instigators.
But I don't know if you want to slide Tage Thompson along with Lazar and Cousins as your fourth line.
Well, I mentioned they all had something in common. They're all first-rounders. It's a first-round line right there, all three of them. It's not too shabby. And there's nothing wrong. Here's the thing about that, Riv, and I wanted to go a different direction, but I'll stay on that Thompson thing because I'm not going to say you're bothered with it, but I mean, I think you want him to have more of an opportunity, and that's going to come naturally. I think that's going to come naturally. It's a short season. There will be injuries. And I also think if you remember, he hasn't played in a year and a half. So, you know, do you throw him right up there with the big dogs and see what he
certainly
can do?
Certainly not affecting his game at the start of this training camp.
No,
this guy's
enough.
Been skating a long time. This guy's had the ability to work on things to make him a better overall hockey player. He's taken it serious. He's put in the training. He's put in the rehabilitation on his shoulder. And he's come here with a chip on his shoulder. Okay?
Yeah.
And now you're sitting there watching what Jason Bottrell, who brought him in years ago, now you're starting to see the benefits of what we're getting in Tage Thompson. He is NHL ready. There's no question about it. But the question is, NHL ready, or is he have the ability to play on a top line and really be integrated into a top line and have success?
Well, back to just last little tidbit on that conversation about the scrimmage. The players I know what the coaches want from the players, but it's got to be one of the most confusing and hardest games. Not that it's a real game, but for these guys that they've maybe ever played. If you think about it, they haven't played in most of them in 9 months, 10 months. And they have on a very short training camp with a very short season. And then how are they supposed to approach this and be game-like without the concern of your teammates getting hurt?
Well, I remember
if some guys go into this here and play a little timid and maybe concerned on how they should play, it may end up costing them in the long run. So you'd almost want them to go out and lay it on the line and maybe take a little bit of a risk to get themselves to where they need to be or get themselves, you know, the position they're looking for.
I think I've said this on the show at some point in the 5 years that we've been doing this, Petey. And I mentioned this to you before because we were having this conversation. Who was the best player on the Montreal Canadiens when I played my time there?
Well, the obvious answer is one, but you might be thinking Sheldon Surrey.
Oh, God, no.
Saku Koivu?
Yeah. I mean, he was our team. He was our captain. He was the best player. I mean, we lived and died with what he did on the ice. He was just a fantastic all-around player, feisty, just incredible. I was in practice one day with Saku. I was at one end, and we were doing one-on-one small area battles, okay? Puck gets flipped in, forward would go in, and the defense would contain that forward until the whistle blew, and then the forward could take it to the front of the net and try and score. Okay? So I went in on Saku, and as you guys know, he was a good buddy of mine. I went in on Saku, and I was playing him real soft, you know, just kind of mirroring him as he was protecting the puck in the corner. Well, he literally stopped the drill. He lost it on me, started screaming. He's smashing his stick on the ice, and he was screaming at the top of his lungs, this is what Zdeno Chara is going to do to me? Is this what Christopher Pronger is going to do to me? He goes, you need to play me hard so when I go and play against them, I will be prepared. He goes, you need to hit me, cross-check me, whatever you need to do. And I was just looking at him. I was stunned. I was shocked that, number one, he's screaming at me. You got all these cameras in the stands that are on this tirade that he was going through. And the reality of it is he was right. Do you think Zdeno Chara and all those top defensemen in the league were going to take it easy on Saku? He needed to understand to prepare himself when he went against the best. So he needed the players in practice to play like we do in a game. And I thought that was really interesting. I'll never forget that day. I even know where it was on the rink. I know everything. And it really got to me that you practice the way you play. If you're going to go soft, the same thing's going to happen in a game. You can't turn it on and off.
I like this theory. I'm going to tell you a really quick, funny, kind of ironic story. When I was in junior, I had a coach yell at me about exactly what you were saying, So I did what he told me to do, and the end result was not good. I'll tell you that story on the other side of the break. Instigators, more Sabre talk to come because training camp's back, Jack's on the ice. I'm going to ask Rob Ray, what are your expectations for Jack in a 56-game schedule? Statistically, this team, Razor's making the predictions. Right now, coming up, other side of the break. Stick around. More to come.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back, Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550. Craig, Andrew, Rob Ray joining us here. I was going to tell you a quick story, a very, very quick story. So I teed it up for you. We were talking about, you know, playing hard and right before the season and all this stuff. And our coach in junior yelled at us because we weren't playing physical enough before the playoffs in practice. I think I turned off a check. And he said, you're going to turn off a check? And so I don't know if I was mad at the coach or what. So I went and buried one of our best players by the penalty box. He blew his shoulder out. Wasn't good. Anyway, team wasn't happy with me. I just did what I was told, man. You tell me to do something. I'm a robot. I'll tell you that right now. All right. Mark on Twitter. Train like you fight. Fight like you train. It's a good line. Sam Reinhart. So – did you guys see the Bjorkstrand contract?
Yes. It just came out right now, did it not?
Yeah, it just came out. Five years.
5 years what?
5 year extension.
What's the cap hit, Riv?
5.4.
Four, yeah.
He signed a 5 year deal for $27 million, which is a $5.4 million cap hit.
I know that I said we were going to get Razor's predictions on the season and stuff, but I, for some reason, I apologize. I thought today was the 10th. so my bad. Anyway, that being said, I know I want to tie a Sam Reinhart conversation here, and I know that we were obviously strongly talking about Jack Eichel today too and some of the other players in the league. We haven't talked much about Sam. You know, he signed a pretty good contract, both team and player. And I know this is like this would be a solid comparison for him, but
is it?
Certainly seems like it.
What makes you think Oliver Bjorkstrand basically compares to Sam Reinhart?
Because that's what JJ told me to say.
All right.
No.
He's not doing his job back there because
he messaged it. He just asked me. He said, "Is it a good comparison for Reinhart?" Well, I mean, 49 games, 21 goals, 36 points. I mean, it's not you know, 36, 23 goals the year before. I mean, if we're, you know, 40 points the year before.
So both guys are 25 years old, right?
Yeah.
They're both relatively the same size. Sam's probably a little bit bigger. Oliver Bjorkstrand, yes. When you look at one or two years.
Right winger.
He's a right winger. Oliver last year had 21 goals, 36 points in 49 games. The year before that, in 77 games played, he had 23 goals, 36 points. The year before that, he played 82 games. He had 11 goals and 40 points. Sam Reinhart has had incredible seasons for not just one or two years, though. Oliver Bjorkstrand has played very well for a shorter period of time. You know, like Sam Reinhart, you can go back, like, I mean, go back 5 years in his career. 23 goals, 17 goals, 25 goals, 22 goals, 22 goals last year. He's at 42, 47, 50, 65, and a shortened season, 50 points. Like, I think I don't look at these two players and say, yeah, they're comparables.
Okay. That's fair enough. Fair enough. That's fine. You don't need to. I think Sam Reinhart, this is the truest test of Sam Reinhart that we are going to see what he is as a player this year, not on a line with, I'm sure we'll see him at some point, but not on a line with Jack. I know he's playing with Staal and Skinner. I expect him to produce. I don't expect him to go backward. I expect him to produce at the same rate. So, I mean, this is a huge year. This is a huge year for Sam Reinhart.
I can agree. I mean, we're not asking Sam, you know, the line he is currently on right now that they are trying is Eric Staal and Jeff Skinner. We're not asking Sam Reinhart to go out and run a line by himself. You don't have to run a line. You have Jeff Skinner. He's making $9 million. You have Eric Staal, who is
he's made $90 million.
Who's made $90 million. Eric Staal has been a very elite player in the National Hockey League for a very long time and is still playing at a high end. Sam Reinhart's not asked to go and run a line. He's asked to go and strengthen and produce a line that is arguably a number one line. You have Jeff Skinner, who scored a boatload of goals throughout his career. You have Sam Reinhart that has produced a tremendous amount of points throughout his career. And you have Eric Staal, who has been an all-star his entire career. So that line in particular is there to take pressure off of the Jack Eichel line, Hall and Olsson. I mean, you now have two lines that are going to, that should produce at a very high pace.
Is that easy for a player of Sam's caliber to accept?
Well, what do you mean? I don't understand that.
No, I mean, like being not, look, he's had so much success on a line with Jack. And I know I'm not saying that Staal and Skinner aren't good line mates or won't be a good mix for him. I'm just asking, you're playing one. Jack's one of the best players in the league.
Yep.
Staal once was. Skinner, you know, could be one of the top scorers in the league.
Yep.
But so that's, I'm not going to call it a demotion because that's a knock on the two players that he's playing with. And they're phenomenal players. My point is, though, it's a little bit different. When now you're the line mate you're used to playing with, that you've had great success with, who's now being noticed as one of the best players in the league, and Jack Eichel is now adding a Hart Trophy winner to his other side.
Yeah, the way I look at it is this: you know, every team is trying to build their team through depth, not just one elite line. I'll take for an example Patrick Laine coming into the league. Had the opportunity to play with Mark Scheifele. Mark Scheifele is the best player on the team. He benefited from it. He scored an ungodly amount of goals in his first 2 years. And then they tried something different in Winnipeg. They ended up putting Patrick Laine on a so-called second line to hope to build more depth. You have Nicholas Backstrom in Washington, has been playing with Alex Ovechkin for 10 years. What do? They put Backstrom on the second line to see if they can build through the depth. Kunetsov goes to the first time with Ovechkin, and now all of a sudden, lines have to worry about Backstrom on the second line, and they also have to worry about Ovechkin. You have, there's just so many situations around the league that have done the same thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think Sam Reinhart is a fantastic hockey player. He is a real deal top-end hockey player in this league. What they're doing right now is they're trying to find a way to strengthen the depth of this team offensively.
Sam, and I think it's produced a compliment to Sam.
It should be.
Hey, Razor, like, I don't know if you see it this way, and maybe I didn't propose it to you guys this way, but what I mean is that's a compliment to Sam. I don't think it shouldn't be like a knock. It should be kind of like viewed as how important he really is.
Yeah, I think that when you put Sam on that second line with Staal and Skinner, and you talk about guys driving the line, I think that's Sam. I think Sam's on that line to make it work. You know, Skinner is Skinner. He's going to go 1,000 miles an hour. He's going to be turning it, but somebody's got to get him the puck. Sam is that ultimate passer and finds the open guy. You know, Staal's going to be that centerman. He's going to be that defensive guy. Is he going to chip in offensively? Yeah, he's going to be there, and he's very good at it. But that line is going to go as Sam Reinhart makes it go, in my eyes. And you're talking about a guy being put in a much higher level of responsibility. I think that by doing that, you've done that to Sam. And as far as him unhappy that he's not with Jack, he's not taking a step down here by any means, especially if Skinner can get his things going. Because he's going to have better matchups when he plays. He's not going to have to play against the best checking line every night. He's going to get virtually the same amount of ice time. When power play comes, who knows how they're going to set it up. Sam's still going to get plenty of opportunity being in front of the net and driving the power play, even the second unit. So I think it's all good for him.
Yeah, I just go back to, you look at what happened in Edmonton. Edmonton at one point in time had Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid playing together on the same line. And what they've done in the last year or so is they've split those two guys up. And what does that do? It adds depth to their offense. Now you have to worry about two lines instead of one. It's the same as Steve Stamkos and Kucherov. A few years ago, Stamkos and Kucherov played with each other. Now those two are on separate lines. You've got to watch two lines. Taves and Kane back in the day, those two played together. Now what they do, they split them up. They put them on two different lines. So it's no different than Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart that have been the pair together here in Buffalo. Now they're looking at, and this is respect for Sam Reinhart and how good of a player he is. Now they're looking at putting these guys and splitting them up and adding depth to the lineup offensively. I think it's a great move.
All right. 100%. We got to go to break. That's 100%. We got to go to break. When we come back, I'm going to play a game with the guys here, a little quick impromptu game. It's called Good Sportsmanship, Bad Sportsmanship. And there was a pretty good example of one or the other last night. After the big victory by the U.S., get the guys' thoughts on that. And if you don't know, stick around. Final segment coming up.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. Final segment. 4 minutes, two topics. Number one, last night for the Team USA picture, USA rolled out the garbage can from the middle of the locker room with the Canada logo on it. So I said good sportsmanship, bad sportsmanship, but I don't think it's that. Gamesmanship, I don't know what you want to call it. Like it, don't like it. How's that? Like it or don't like it? You want my thought on it first, or you guys want to go?
Go ahead.
I love it. That's what it took. That's what it took for them to win. Well, guess what? Good for you. They hate Canada. and Canada hates the U.S. when it comes to hockey. And I that's a hockey guy thing to do. Grab the can. Hey, Smitty, go get the garbage can out of the room. Let's get it in the picture. Get the picture. Seriously. So I loved it. Hey, carry on.
As Rib says, they're all buddies anyways. They've all played with each other, against each other forever. They all know each other. I think if somebody gets upset over that, then, you know, they're not thinking the right way. I think it's just good, clean fun.
Yeah, like it's like what we talked about yesterday. You got Zegras, you've got Byfield, you've got Drysdale, two other guys. These guys are all flying on the same plane back to California because there was LA and Anaheim draft picks, okay? These guys are laughing about this on the way back on the plane.
Not yet.
100%. I mean, listen, all of these kids, they've all grown up together. They've all competed at the highest level together for a very long time. Listen, the U.S. got the best of Canada. And I'll tell you this, the U.S. deserved it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, the next time they play, Canada's going to be ready.
Well, I guess Jeff just wrote in the rundown there that they had a barrel for every team, but Canada just happened to be the last team. Okay, last thing before we go. How's the diet? Sorry, Craig, you worded it perfectly. How's the lifestyle, instigator lifestyle change going? We only have about a minute, by the way.
Go ahead, Robert.
Mine's going good. Cut back, my number's down. I've lost a few pounds, so it's encouraging. I quit chewing on New Year's Eve. I had a half a pack left, and I ate the whole thing before bed. I thought I was going to be sick, but I got it out of my system, and things have been good so far.
How many calories in a thing of chew?
Not much.
Yeah, it doesn't matter about the calories, though. But, hey, what about you, Riff? How you doing?
We're talking lifestyle. We're not good. Talking.
Yeah, lifestyle. That's right, Razor. Well said, Razor. Lifestyle. Put me in my place. It's a lifestyle. Chewing is lifestyle. Yeah. Yes. Good this for you. And I'm encouraging you. What, Riff? And you
this should has nothing to do with the diet. This just has to do with lifestyle change. Has to starting to get a little bit more exercise, starting to eat a lot better and a lot less. And, everything's going well so far. I started at 244. We will step on the scale in a couple of days at the 2-week mark, and we'll let you know.
Well, Monday was day one for us, and it sounds like we're all doing pretty well. And I can just say, first day for me was Monday, legitimate first day, and I went to bed Monday night, woke up yesterday with a 6-pack, so it seems to be going really well. One Bills Live is next. Lots going on with the Bills. 10, 9, 8 seconds left. Riv, you are terrific today. No mic problems, no internet problems. Riv, first star. We are out. One Bills Live next. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly.